Bush LeBebes.
Hello!
We're back! Oh my god!
Roxanne and Lisa!
Rachel, tra 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 tra! La 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 la!
How are you?
I'm so good, you guys. Happy holidays to everyone out there. We are coming in hot with a bonus episode.
Bonus. We got everyone here. Thanksgiving just happened, so yeah. We're still pretty full, recovering from that.
Yep.
But yeah, we wanted to hop on, give everyone a little sneak peek as to what's coming for season two.
Yeah.
And we also just really like filming episodes, so we wanted to get together and film one quick one before we have to wait till season two is ready to go, right?
Yeah, and we're coming at you from Los Angeles, baby cakes.
LA, baby.
We are I've said this multiple times. I don't know why I keep bringing up the bi-coastal thing, but I'm like, bi-coastal
queens, baby.
Seriously. But yeah, I'm super excited because Rachel, we filmed all of season one in New York, as you guys may or may not know. I'm not really sure how you keep up with us, but follow us on Instagram because we are active and posting a lot of behind the scenes Bush Baby stuff now that we're kind of getting settled for season two and have our setup here in LA.
Yeah.
And, you know, have assembled an LA crew, which we're super excited about. I've said baby too many times.
It's not baby, it's bebe.
How do you spell that? B-E-B-E with an apostrophe on the last E?
Yeah, probably, I guess.
Yeah, me too. Bebe. I like that.
Bebe. I really like the hand things. Did you get the pair?
No, this is the t-shirt.
Oh, it's a shirt.
Yeah, like a long sleeve, yeah.
That's
but
cool.
I do love it because it's like, it's warm. Winter,
yeah,
winter.
I didn't know she made that.
Yeah.
With this, yeah, that's really cool. I thought you got the gloves.
Sammy Miro, guys. She's a vibes designer, POC so designer, and she makes really sick things, which leads us into one of the topics that we're going to be talking about today. We have a fun episode planned. Not really planned because we are not good planners, it seems. But we do have a good episode for you guys. That's going to be a little gift guide action, Bush Baby's gift guide.
No, I was like, oh shit, you reminded me we're doing a gift guide today.
Yeah, I'm telling you guys, we haven't planned this out. The holiday season has really taken a toll on us thus far. It's
by
been manic
a storm.
Vibes.
I have a lot of things I need to do before Christmas.
Yeah, you gotta get cranking, girl.
I told every single person I know that I was gonna custom knit them something, and now I have to knit like 50 items before Christmas.
I think you've promised me specifically about 12 items that you're gonna knit, but I'm only holding you accountable for one. So as long as I get one, I'll be really happy. But guys, something that has happened between season one and now, Rachel has become a cranker.
Oh.
And to define cranking, that is a knitting machine that she has literally defined herself as a crank. And basically, we have been doing these TikTok lives called Bacon Cranks.
Yeah.
And I bake, and we kind of simultaneously bake and crank, but stay tuned because maybe we'll have a giveaway.
And if you join, you might get something for free from the crank, unless it's something I already told my friends I'd give to.
She has promised a lot.
But I think we can find another thing to crank out to give to someone.
Yeah,
someone
we can find some crankable items. I love a good crank.
Yeah. Well, cheers to our bonus episode.
Bonus.
Liquid death. Rox, what song am I thinking of?
Is it a holiday song?
No.
Is it? Oh, wait, what am I doing? This isn't that game. Nothing's coming to mind. All I need. That one from the Beatles?
That's not the song I'm thinking of. But
okay,
good
what?
Guess.
What?
I don't ever want to see you again. You know that song?
Oh, yeah.
How does the rest of it go?
It's like, and I never want to see you, and I never want to miss you again. I'll say, and if you ever meet me, then I didn't make a one-night stand.
I don't know the words, but it's Oliver Tree.
Snaps
for Oliver Tree.
That's my new thing. I think season two, I'm going to be a snapper. Because I've heard feedback that my claps are too loud. So snaps for me, baby.
What else are we doing? We're doing a history section, which I have genuinely prepared for zero. So I hope this goes well. And maybe you should run the history section of this episode. Okay. I haven't prepared anything.
Yeah, I think we'll do just like a history of Mrs. Claus. Because, you know, we love a good women in history moment.
Obviously.
Any updates? Tell me about your updates from the past couple months. Because it actually has been so long since I've seen you.
Yeah.
Come here, Lo.
Yeah. You guys. Okay. So I feel like our audience may not know this, but the way that we've been doing our filming for this podcast has been like bulk. So kind of more along the lines of like a traditional production style. So we filmed all of season one, then edited it, and then like posted everything weekly, obviously, for season one. Mm-hmm. So for you guys, it may not have seemed like a really long time, but for us, since filming our last season, it has been a long time. Like, a lot has actually happened throughout the last couple of months. But I feel like one of the biggest updates for me was my medication. As some of you guys may know, I mean, I haven't really talked about this much, but like, you know, I went through a rough patch for sure, where my anxiety and depressive episodes were kind of coming to an all-time high in my life. And because of that, I, you know, through the help of my therapist and psychiatrist, went down the route of trying SSRIs for the first time. And when we were filming our last season, I was on the medication. And for a while, it didn't feel like it was like super helping, but super not. I was kind of just like floating along. But in hindsight, I was like a zombie mode of myself, which I didn't really realize like in the moment, because I kind of thought I was just in a depressive episode, like a really, really dark one.
Yeah.
And I don't know. I mean, it's been about a month since I've weaned off of my SSRI. And a couple things happened within that time. We played around with the dosages, which when I went on a higher dosage, and I started off small. So I started off on 5 milligrams, which was a very low dosage compared to, you know, some of my friends and
me.
Yeah.
Max dose,
Rachel,
baby.
Rachel.
I was on 20 for a long time.
Yeah. So compared to that, like, you know, 5 is small. And because it wasn't really working, we went up to 7.5. And then things got manic. Like, you saw me, Rachel. Like, it was not me. Like, you saw, like, that was, like.
I wouldn't say it wasn't you.
But I was waking up, couldn't get out of bed, and then crawling on the floor, bawling my eyes out, telling you and Corey and everyone that I had to cancel everything on my schedule for the next 48 hours because I literally couldn't even think straight. Like, my mind was racing so fast at all times, and it was just, like, literally manic. That's the only way I can describe it.
I just know you were having a really tough go at it for a while, and it was the blind leading the blind, because we'd sit on the phone for like 4 hours a day, and I'd be like, yeah, do you have a professional to talk to, because I don't know what the fuck, like, how to help, other than like, I'm your friend and I know you're having a tough time and I can try to regurgitate whatever life advice that I've remembered through my therapy sessions. But at the end of the day, you know, everyone has their own path. And it is funny that it is kind of blind leading the blind with us.
Yeah, I mean, that's why we have our professionals. Like, we're obviously always there for each other, but like, we have our professionals and, you know, we try to go down the right path and put one foot in front of the other. But I guess the interesting thing, and if like my personality innately is very much like I succumb to all states of authority. Like, I will bow down to anyone and put myself way further down than like literally anybody that I meet. Like, I am below them on the totem pole. So because of that, figures of authority are extremely like, I want to please them. So like, this whole time, you know, I'm wanting to please like my medical professionals, basically going along with like everything. Even internally,
I remember saying is Lily
sorry,
breathing.
That's a hack that I learned about when dogs reverse sneeze, you cover one of their nostrils.
Oh.
And they immediately stop. Wow. Love that. The first time I've ever tested the hack. Sorry.
Live. Yeah. On camera.
Just sorry. On air. Continue the serious combo you were just having.
No worries. You know, I have always wanted to like please those around me. And for whatever reason, because of the dosage variables that were happening, I started to monitor my symptoms very closely. Like I made a calendar. I monitored everything that I feel like was being affected. I was very methodical about it and tracked it for a couple of weeks. And with the increases and decreases, my symptoms were severely getting worse or better, meaning the higher the dosage, which again, it was only going up very small amounts. So we're talking 2.5 milligrams of an amount up or down. But even with that very small amount, I felt my symptoms increasing when the dosage was higher and decreasing when I went down on dosage. So I'm not saying that this will be everybody's experience. Obviously, many people have a positive experience on SSRIs. But for me, it was definitely affecting me and making me feel like a shell of myself, like not my full person. Like my light had been dimmed or I was a zombie, like walking in my own body, but not actually living my life. So anyways, I listened to my intuition for probably one of the first times in my adult life. And against what my mental health professionals were telling me, I chose to listen to my body and take the, I guess, how do I want to say this? I'm really not trying to encourage anybody out there to do this. I just want to like talk about my own experience, because if you are like having this, maybe it means you need to get on a different medication. And, you know, it's not just you identifying with your anxiety or depression or any mental health, diagnosis that you're dealing with. It's just about trying to find the right thing that works for you. And basically, I listened to my intuition. I looked over my findings and my records of like literally how my symptoms were, going up and down day to day. And I decided that for myself, the best decision was going to be to wean off of it. And, you know, I feel like I did so in a thoughtful manner. I feel like I did so in a manner that was safe. I didn't have side effects personally. Maybe that's because I was on such a low dosage to begin with, but I did not have side effects. And I truly feel like my light is turned back on. Like I feel like my full self. Yes, I still have things that I'm working through on a daily basis, but it's almost as if the feeling of being grateful to be back at my baseline and not feeling like literally a percentage of who I actually am, and to just feel like my actual self, it's almost that gratefulness is motivating me to combat the anxiety that I was feeling before the meds, the depression that I was feeling before the meds in a way that I wasn't able to before. So it's almost like this experience was meant to happen because I needed to see how my body reacted. And obviously, I didn't have a great reaction to that specific medication, and everybody's going to be different, like we're saying, but it was a wild experience. It really was. It really, really was. But I'm happy to be back, and I feel much more myself, and I hope you guys can tell, because I feel like my old YouTube subscribers were like, who is this person? Like, this doesn't even seem like Roxette, because I was like R back then. I wasn't even my full self. So biggest update of the last couple of months for me, yeah, for sure.
Well, I also think another thing to think about too, and to call out for all the people listening, is that this is a very real time discovery that's happening. You just stopped taking the medication, what, like a week and a half ago?
1 month ago now. One month ago.
So it's different for everyone. Obviously, for sure. Like, you're learning day by day. Everyone's still learning about stuff. Yeah. I've been on this medication, mental health journey for 6 or 7 years now. And even sometimes when I get back on the exact same medication, it is different. And my body reacts different. I might have different symptoms, different side effects. So it's just one of those things where, just to reiterate that, you know, we aren't medical professionals. We're not mental health professionals. Yeah. We're just talking about our experience and experience to date, you know?
Yeah.
We could change that. Like, for the first 5 years I was on Lexapro, I was so pro Lectra. I was like, hell yes, it works. Do it. Let's go. And then after 5 or 6 years, it stopped working the way it was. And then I had to go up. I went to like one of the max that they prescribe. It's not the actual max. You apparently can take more, just not that common to take more than 20 milligrams. So then I was on that pretty much all summer, fall, and then now I'm trying something else. And we'll see how that works. It's all just
trial and error
process. Yeah.
And like we were saying, putting one foot in front of the other, monitoring how you feel, because you are the only person that knows how you feel. And this is, I'm not saying this to knock the mental health industry at all. I think everything that has happened to me has happened for a reason, but you are really the only person that can actually monitor how you're feeling, regardless of how, you know, how other people can see the from the outside perspective. So I think that's the thing to take away from this is like, know your body, feel your body, love your body, and like put one foot in front of the other to make sure that you are in the right place to keep combating your obstacles and your battles in the way that works for you. That's the like message here. That's what I'm preaching.
Yeah, that's awesome. Well, yeah, I've definitely noticed a shift and I'm really happy.
It's the gratefulness though, because I had anxiety, obviously, mm-hmm. a lot. I had many deep episodes of depression before that mm-hmm. I haven't had in the past 3 weeks. Like, you know what I'm trying to say? Like,
yeah.
That were happening at a very regular basis, but it's actually the gratefulness. Like, you know, the on the scale of vibrations of how you feel, gratefulness is like at the one of the higher vibrations, whereas like stress, anxiety, like all of those things are at the lower end of the vibrational scale. So when you can override lower vibration feelings with the higher vibrations, the idea is that they help you to overcome the lower vibrations at a more powerful degree than what's holding you back. So I don't know if that is actually true, or, you know, it's obviously maybe different for every person, but from my subjective experience, gratefulness is a vibe.
It's a vibe. It's a vibe.
Love.
Love it. Love it. Love it. Awesome. Well, what are you most excited for the holidays coming up?
Wait, do you have any updates?
Oh,
we skimmed past that.
I feel like so much has happened since I last saw you. We were just talking about this, how there are just so many like funny things I feel like that have been going on. And I think it's because I sit in my apartment alone most of the time. So like when I do have a social interaction, it ends up being so weird because I'm like a hermit these days.
Me. Oh my God, I can relate.
But if you follow us on our social media, you would have seen an update on is Bush Babies had our first giveaway and we're going to be hosting more. So if you're in New York or LA, definitely keep in touch on our social media platforms so you can come and get some free stuff and meet us.
I feel like that is definitely one thing that has happened since we were last filming, at least, because when we filmed, we hadn't set up any of our accounts. Basically, we didn't have a lot of like the, you know, I guess design trajectory, for mm-hmm. lack of better terms.
Yeah.
And so it's been fun to like do this whole creative process together and build out our socials and have create an aesthetic of our own and like do that whole vibe. So yeah, anyways, definitely follow us and stay tuned for giveaways and just fun stuff to come, because we're always trying to think of like fun things to build out our BB community.
And I think a big part of that as well, on top of our giveaways, is we're both putting in a lot of effort in New York and LA to be more involved in our community and curating that. So we are trying to host more events, even parties, giveaways, whatever it may be, to meet up in person. So you should definitely keep in touch on social media if you want to get on the list.
I feel like a good update for Rachel since the last season. I feel like Rachel has become the New York socialite of the century. Like, genuinely, like you.
What?
Yeah, no, I'm actually dead serious. Like, you are the New York gal.
Oh my God. I literally sit at home and crank out knitted items all day.
Nope. Rachel is the vibes.
Well, we did grow our team, so I want to do a shout out to Feline. She's been helping out a bunch with curating, you know, our New York community. We also have Claire, our beautiful, amazing sound engineer. And Corey, as always, the backbone of our team.
A strong team of women.
Yeah. Too. And we have a super sick ass shoot coming up.
Oh, yes. Rachel's going to crank it out.
That it kind of reminds me of when we were really little and I was, like, not in a negative way, but super fucking bossy towards
she
you.
She was the bossy boss.
And I was like, Roxette, we I was like, we need to recreate a Lion King. And we'd, like, come down my parents' stairs.
Yeah.
And she'd be, like, carrying me. And we'd force my mom to videotape it. And this is kind of that same energy getting put into this. But I'm hoping it's going to come across a bit more professional and tasteful than the Lion King recording.
I hope so.
But we have a super sick shoot coming up that I'm so excited for because I'm actually going to be making the outfits for it. And I have 3 weeks to make 2 outfits. And I'm a little stressed, but also I'm so excited because I think it's going to come out super sick because it doesn't have to be wearable. It just has to look...
It has to look
sick. Just has to cover our private parts for a photo shoot. So that's what, like, lowers the bar for me. I'm like, I can just tape stuff on if like, shit hits the fan, you know? Like, it's not like you have to wear it to a restaurant or something and it has to stay on your body, you know?
I'm excited to see how it turns out. I think we're going to make it work. I think it's going to be good. I think it's going to be great.
I'm really excited. It's also just so great doing a shoot with Roxette and putting things on Roxette because she is a pro when it comes to modeling and posing. So it's like I could fucking put a ripped up potato sack on her and she would serve. So I think it's just super helpful to be shooting with you and with Olive, who has such a great eye that's going to make anything look good too. So it just, even if the dresses turn out shit, I think it's going to end up looking sick.
Yes. I'm so excited to do this shoot again. So I'm excited to see how they turn out.
Yeah. What else? I feel like we've talked so much. We need to stop talking every day because then we can save it for this.
I know. That's literally what I've started to do with hot takes because, like, I'm saving them so that I can get your reaction, like, on camera. Because, yeah, we literally spend every day talking for hours on end.
Like, 5 hours a day.
Yeah, like, no joke. Like, we'll be on FaceTime for 5 hours just, like, doing other work.
Her fiance is like, what the fuck?
Like, I think we're in a three-way
relationship. Her fiance thinks that, like, he's dating both of us, I think, at this point.
Yeah. No, he really does. No, the other day he was like, I mean, Rachel's a sister to me. And I was like, yes, she is, honey. Yes, she is. Like, that is, we're Siamese twins, I would say. We're, like, connected at the hip.
Someone just asked us that, remember? Yeah. We were twins.
Yeah, at Bardonna. Shout out Santa Monica.
Yeah, that place is so good.
Love Bardonna. But anyways, somebody at this local cafe came up to us. We were wearing our friend Riv's super sick balaclavas with, like, these devil horns on them.
Riv McCall. Amazing fashion designer.
Check her out. She's sick.
If you know, you know. She's about to blow the fuck up.
Yeah, seriously. I mean, she's so talented.
Yeah.
But we were wearing them and both wearing them to get, like, they're matching, but just different colors. One's white and red. One's red and white. And someone comes up to us and she's like, are you guys twins?
Yeah.
And we were like, no, but we've been being asked that since we were, like, 5,
because we're sisters.
Yeah.
That's what I said.
We were like, yeah. You were like, no, we're sisters. And I was like, yep.
But yeah,
we pretty much are.
I guess other update for me is that I made it to LA, which is, I feel like that. I don't struggle with that many issues. Except the flying is not my vibe.
I will say that it's been wild to see this from you because growing up, like, you took so many flights and traveled so many places.
I mean, it's definitely, like, not gangster behavior, but I think, you know, that's what I always mind Roxette of, and I want to reiterate this on the pod, is that everyone's mindset can change.
Yeah.
And it is what it is. You're just going to deal with it. A year ago, I would have never thought that I wouldn't be able to get on a plane. You could never predict that. Yet, there's nothing wrong with you for that now being the problem. If it wasn't this, it would have been something else. And that's what I try to tell myself all the time. If I wasn't freaking out about flying, I would have been freaking out about whatever the fuck else I've been freaking out before. I think before it was like sitting down at a restaurant, there was a good while where I like couldn't go out to eat with people because I felt stuck at the table and then like eating, already feeling nauseous and then having to eat and then being like, oh my God, they're going to think I'm anorexic because I'm not eating my food because I'm nauseous. And then that was a whole thing. And then all my doctors thought I was anorexic, but I wasn't. I wanted to eat, so I just drank beer and venti frappuccinos. I feel like my mental health experience is like kind of beautiful because it's like, oh, I'm like really sad and like I have this intense drama. Like I could write a book about this. And for me, it's like I literally need to have a frappuccino right now or I need to fucking like take a Klonopin just to sit on a plane for 6 hours. You know, like mine is just not poetic at all and yours is. And I think that's like makes it kind of funny.
I kind of love that for us. Honestly, we're yin and yang. Like we balance each other out because of that. Vibes. Yeah. Vibes. Find you a friend.
Well, I think another thing too is I rewatched Girls recently living in New York, and I think it adds this new next level of like everyone hates the girls in Girls, yet
I haven't watched it.
They live their life and they vibe and they don't give a shit.
That's and my vibe right now. Dude, that's
just
where...
Just main character energy.
See, even though we do have, I will say, very different experiences, we have a Venn diagram where, like, we do meet in the middle and we connect on these things, which is honestly great because no matter what the experience, you can, like, kind of find the silver lining. And that is it. Yeah. To try to figure out how to just live your life and not give a flying fuck. Like, that's where I'm trying to get to.
Now that we're talking about this, this is another update that I forgot and I wanted to mention in this is that I think since I moved to New York, because everyone seems so sick when you walk around, it's like kind of intimidating and gives me social anxiety. So I just stay at home all the time and like never leave the house. I've been forcing myself to go out more. And sometimes now I'll go out with my friends and leave and say I'm going home, but instead of going straight home, I'll literally go into a club alone, like solo.
I love that. It's
such a fun and interesting experience. I'll just get like one drink, you know, finish the drink and then go home. And once you're already kind of drunk, you have a little more like liquid courage anyway, so I don't get as worked up about it. But I've gone to this one club and it feels like you're in an eighth grade dance when you're actually watching these people because it's a group of guys and they're all dancing like this and like looking at each other in a circle, talking, trying to like whisper and find another group of girls that's dancing like this. And they're like looking over at the guys. And then at one point, it's like osmosis or when like water combines, these two circles will merge and then it'll be a group of guys and girls. And that is literally, it is so interesting. Go to a club alone and watch people try to interact at a club. It's so funny. And also, like, I think the idea of everyone's, like, so concerned about how they're perceived, especially at, like, places like that. And so when you go to a club like that, where everyone is so clearly concerned about like looking hot, like maybe getting a free drink from someone, like meeting someone, hooking up with someone that night, like it's so fun to be a fly on the wall and just watch these people. And there was this one group of guys, and I think they thought I was like cock blocking them because I was standing right by them, like drinking my drink alone. And they were like trying to get with another group of girls. Back to going to clubs alone. You should definitely do it. It's such a vibe. You always meet super nice people who are also bold enough to go to clubs alone. I think it's amazing.
That does honestly sound like a vibe. I have admittedly not tried this. But
you go to events alone, which sounds even scarier
and
to me.
And for years, people have been saying, how do you show up alone? Like, how do you just show up alone? But
I don't know. I just kind of got over it. It made me come out of my shell. That is for sure. Because I used to be really, really, really shy. Like, very difficult for me to talk to people and, I don't know, really talk to anyone. Even close friends, like, I found it difficult to, like, feel comfortable with. But going to events alone definitely got me out of my shell and opened me up to, like, trying to, I don't know, find my inner confidence a little bit more and, like, be able to... open up.
Yeah. No, I think that's great. And I think everyone needs to have some type of exposure therapy like that through work.
Yeah.
My second job ever was on Melrose at this tiny little store called, what was it called? Oh, New York Speed. And my dad thought I was selling drugs because it was called New York Speed. And I had to stand outside of this random store and convince people to come in. Like, that was my whole job. I got paid, I think, $10 an hour. Maybe I had a break. I had a 30-minute lunch and two 15-minute breaks. Like, the normal, basic retail job. And I'd stand outside and be like, hey, I love your shoes. Like, we have some like that inside. Like, you should come in. And then, like, push clothes on them. And they sold Diesel and G-Star Raw. Like, everything was the whole store. And so, it wasn't really my style. But I just had to say, fuck it, you know? Like, I need to talk to all these people to come in. I need to get over my pride. I need to get over being, like, too cool for this and just do it. And I ended up meeting so many people. Yeah. They fired me, though, because I would just find someone and become friends with them and talk to them all day instead of my job. So then they fired me after 2 weeks. But I still think it was one of those things where you kind of get over yourself a bit, you know?
Yeah. You gotta take life by the reins, baby. Yeah. Gotta just ride that sleigh and get the most out of the experience, even if you get fired.
Yeah. Even if you get fired.
Even if you get fired, it was worth it. Find the silver lining. There always is one.
Well, I was about to start college summer courses, so I was gonna have to quit anyway. So then when they fired me, I smiled and was like, oh, thank you, and left. And they were so confused. They were like, no one has ever been fired and been that happy about getting fired. But whatever. All right, so we're gonna get into the herstory of Mrs. Claus, which is actually sadly not very long ago, because the first somewhat mention of her was in 1849 in a short story called A Christmas Legend by Philadelphia-based Christian missionary James Reese. I'm pretty sure Santa Claus was around like the 1300s or 1400s.
280 AD.
Okay.
In Patara in modern-day Turkey. I'm confused a little bit, but it says the story behind Santa goes back to the 3rd century during the time of Saint Nicholas, a monk, even though some sources state he was a bishop. Nicholas was born around 280. Oh no, that was his birth date.
No, but yeah, it's based on a saint, Saint Nick.
Yeah.
Saint Nick. Da, 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 dee, da, ba, ba, bow. You know that song?
Yes.
All right. So in the story that James Reese wrote, he talked about a couple, you know, of travelers leaving an abundance of gifts. So that could be interpreted as Mr. and Mrs. Claus, but they aren't blatantly called that. So that's kind of the earliest one that people are thinking. But Mrs. Santa Claus by name is mentioned in 1851 in the Yale Literary Magazine from a student author with the name given only as A.B., writes the appearance of Santa Claus at a Christmas party as bounded that jolly, fat, and funny old elf Santa Claus. His array was indescribably fantastic. He seemed to have done his best, and we should think had Mrs. Claus to help him. So that was the first time Mrs. Claus was ever mentioned, was in 1851. And comparison to 280 is very different. But that's also because Santa Claus...
280, I realized, was his supposed birth date.
Well,
the
actual
saint.
Because Santa Claus is based on Saint Nicholas. Yeah. And so Mrs. Claus is what I'm assuming, and we can do a little more research on this, is, you know, once Saint Nick shifted from, you know, the more realistic saint version to this
More
fairy tale version of, you know, being on a sleigh, flying around the entire world, that's when he was personified as, you know, like a fictitious character, which is then how he became like a married man having a wife. Then in 1854, in Utica, New York, there was a Christmas musical that had Mrs. Claus in it with holding a baby.
1854. Oh my gosh. 2 years before my dad was born. Your dad was definitely already born.
1854?
Oh no.
Yeah, my dad was born in 1850s. So then the Santa Mrs. Claus was also made in an essay in Harper's Magazine. Harper's Magazine comes up so often in our history stuff.
Yeah, they've really been...
They're really ingrained in American history.
Yes. Wow.
Like, more than Vogue.
That was a light bulb that just went off.
More than Vogue, more than anything, is Harper's
Bazaar.
With the shaving.
Yeah.
With the...
Even, I think they were in shoes... They were in so many different categories that we've talked about.
I think because they were probably one of the biggest female-focused magazines in the early 1800s, which is why they keep coming up. Like, I don't think Vogue existed by then yet. Or, like, these other iconic magazines,
right,
you know?
Right, of today's time. Wow.
Yeah. So, yeah, they were mentioned in that in 1862, and she appears... in A Woman's Dream in 1864 in a comic book called The Metropolites, wearing Hessian high boots, a dozen of short red petticoats, an old large straw bonnet. Yeah, so it's the first time Mrs. Claus was described as the woman she is today that you see in all the cartoons. You know, that long-ass red dress, the bonnet.
We need to get Mrs. Claus some new wardrobe, I think. I think she deserves some evolvement from just...
Some latex.
Yeah. Red, shiny latex. Like, that's my pitch for Mrs. Claus 2023.
A latex catsuit. Julia Fox mixed with Mrs. Claus vibe.
Ooh, vibe.
Yeah. okay, so then... The Metropolites was really the first time we could see it all, you know, personified with the description of the idyllic image of her. So then in 1887, Eugene C. Gardner wrote an article called A Hickory Backlog with an even more detailed description of her dress. But it basically just gives her even more of this personified image of the Puritan, you know, older woman, white hair, bonnet vibe, you know? Yeah.
What does Mrs. Claus stand for? Like, what is her main, like, in these fictional, I guess, storytelling versions of the pair, like, what is Mrs. Claus's role? Is she baking cookies for Santa? Is she, like, what is her role? That's what I'm asking, basically.
She depicts the perfect housewife, obviously, for Santa.
I was literally... You know,
she helps care for him. She cooks him dinner. She, like, helps... The elves are the slaves, so the elves are the ones doing the toys. But the, she's the one who, like, cares for him when he gets home after a long day of delivering the gifts.
I genuinely feel like I was actually just talking to my therapist this week about this and, like, kind of my own fears of, like, living up to this housewife vision at this point in my life, like, now that I'm engaged, which is, like, crazy, but, like, now that I'm at this level, I'm getting really scared about, like, the perceptions of what a wife means, and it's, like, kind of stories like this that have ingrained that into a lot of my thinking, I think, because it feels natural that, like, once you become a wife, your life has to change, and, like, you have to learn how to cook, and you have to learn how to clean, and you have to be this, like, emblem of perfection, I guess, in the household, which I'm scared of right now and kind of trying to, like, work through. But it's interesting that that's, like, her main vibe, I guess.
Well, I think at least for your scenario, you two already live together.
Yeah.
So you've already kind of figured out what your daily routine is.
Yeah.
And bitch, you're not the cook. So you should be fine.
And also, Joe's not the type of person, nor would he ever, like, expect me to be like, okay, we're married now, pick up the recipe books, like, get your oven mitts out. Like, I don't think he's that type of person. So it's just my own fears. But just
I mean,
relating it
we
to
we literally
story.
Just baked cookies on live 2 days
and
ago.
And they were so bad. They made them literally unedible. Disgusting. Unedible.
Yeah, inedible. Well, I think a lot of that also is part of, you know, this idea of like new age feminism and how,
yeah,
you know, we all right. women fought for their rights to go yeah. back to the workforce and not have to be the stay-at-home mom. But now that women have equal opportunity in working, they're still held to this higher standard of like,
yeah.
yes, you can work, but also you're still the one who's the mom who like should take care of the kids and be home and pick them up and cook them dinner and stuff. And so instead of having this equality with men of we can go to work, it's we have that now and we're expected to do that or else we're just a stay-at-home mom.
Right.
Or we have to be there and take care of our kids. And now we have two jobs. And so I think that's the new push now is that, you know, you don't have to take care of your kids being the one that birthed them. Like the dad can do that. You can outsource, if you have both parents at work, you can outsource that. And that doesn't mean you're a terrible person. You just care about your kids. Because I was someone who grew up with both my parents working. And the days that my parents help or like housekeeper Lupe, she basically raised me. The day she didn't pick me up, I would sit at the ice rink.
Yeah.
For hours after I was done. And I was so embarrassed. I would like call my mom screaming and like so mad. Now that I look back, it's like she had a full-time job.
Yeah, I definitely think that like as a society, when you look over like the last 100 years of just generally speaking, there is a shift moving towards a more understanding household, towards a more understanding of the feminine drive of wanting to have a career, of wanting to have endeavors and still have a family for a lot of people, obviously, maybe not for others, but like being able to do it and do it in a way that works, whether that means, you know, figuring out a schedule or figuring out whatever it is. Like, I think yeah. the shift is happening towards what you were saying. So,
yeah. Well, I think the other shift as well is that there is also nothing wrong with wanting to yeah. stay home and take time off of your job and career yeah. to be with your kids, because it is such an emotional bond that I don't think either of us could ever understand until we have our own kids.
Yeah, true.
That you don't want to leave them. Like, you're so protective and you want to stay home with them, you know?
And the biggest thing is that we are living in a time where we have the ability to choose. So choose what works for you and what you really want for your life. Because at the end of the day, mm-hmm. like, we are lucky to be living in a time where like we are in charge of our own destiny. Like there was a time literally not even like women were not even allowed to act like in the middle of the 1800s. Like that's not even that long ago. And like we did not have a right to be in entertainment. Like that is insane. So it's like take advantage of where we're at and how far we've come and how far all of the feminists have, you know, come and like guided the direction of what women are able to do in today's day and age. So I think yeah. that's like our vibe.
That is that's our vibe. Wait, I also think though too that you were talking about maternity leave and how legally it's only 6 weeks.
Oh my
weeks.
Gosh. Yes. So my cousin-in-law, she is about to give birth. By the time this video goes live, I'm probably going to have a new, I guess that would be my second cousin-in-law. I'm not really sure how that works.
I don't know.
But regardless, new family member. But she was telling me that for her maternity leave, and in all of California, it's 6 weeks for the mom and 2 weeks for the father. So it's like your baby is like 2 weeks old for the father when he's expected to go back to work, and a month and a half old by the time your mother, you're supposed to hand your baby yeah. off to another,
like
somebody
a random
else
person, yeah.
and like take care of it at a month and a half old. Like, I don't even think they can hold their head up at that point.
Yeah.
So it's kind of crazy how small the maternity leave is. Like, I think we need a push.
Legally. Yeah.
Legally. Exactly. Like, you could take extra time off, but you won't be paid for that. And that's what she was
well,
explaining
I
to
think,
me.
Well, I think a lot of companies will give a lot more than that.
Good.
But they are legally required to give at least that. You know, if you work at a company that has good benefits, that's another benefit. Like some but companies give a itself, year.
That in itself is shouldn't be okay because that creates different classes where the wealthier people that work for the bigger companies yeah. are able to. The minimum should be raised so that there's at least a sense of a little bit more equality yeah. for every class to be able to take care of their newborn. Like, you
I
know,
totally agree. That's a great point.
Damn, well, that I was got the, fired up.
Well, that was the other interesting thing too, is that even though they have minimums that people can take at some of these companies, you know, you're going to miss out on your career growth if you take that much time off.
Yeah.
So some people, even though yeah. they are able to take a certain amount of time, still feel a pressure to get back in the office and start going. Mm. So should we do our gift guide?
All right. So let's get into our BB gift guide.
Yeah.
So we're really, really pumped about this. We tried to hand select, you know, brands and people that we want to support and we want to put it out there.
Mm-hmm.
So whether that be, you know, marginalized communities, women-owned brands, POC-owned brands, LGBTQIA plus owned brands, like whatever that may be, that's kind of where we went with our selections. And also honing in on things that you'll actually use and your friends will actually use, because we want to put our money towards good uses yeah. and good people and brands. So that's yeah. what this gift guide is all about.
Exactly. And I think our gift guide is short but sweet.
Yes.
Because we're not here to tell you guys to buy everything.
Yeah.
It's just a couple things that we really like. And it's definitely not fully inclusive of everything you should buy.
Yeah.
I'm just sure there are things.
Just a few dabbles of yeah. Bush Babies.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh. Wait, we need to show our wrapping paper really quick. Can
oh
I? Can
God.
You hand it to me? Wait, we have Bush Babies wrapping paper.
Yeah.
And we're going to be using it for, or at this point, you probably, thank you, Corey. At this point, you probably have
we'll
already
have seen it.
That we've done a giveaway on in LA and we use this for our giveaway. But like, honestly, this is iconic, and this
yeah.
is exactly why we're giving you this Bush Babies gift guide, because we got the Bush Babies vibes
yeah.
going on this holiday season. So just
and
a sprinkle of Bush.
If you want to wrap your gifts at home for Christmas with your Bush Baby stuff, check out our website, because we'll sell it on our merch
yeah.
website.
Yes, we can. We can.
Yeah.
Let's do it.
Yeah.
It's honestly pretty iconic.
You could also buy some hats and tanks and totes. Tanks and totes,
tanks
baby.
Tanks and totes, baby.
To give to your friends for yeah. The holidays. But, you know, to each their own. We're giving ours. We're giving them to all of our friends for
yeah.
the holidays. But
yeah,
you can do that too. If you want to be sick, if you want to be cool, you can do it too.
And
but.
Also because our merch is actually sick. Like,
yeah.
it's actually such vibes. And I wear it on
Wait,
a daily
Rox,
basis.
Is it sick?
It's sick. So sick. But no, it actually really is. And like, I wear it on a day-to-day basis. Like, my local coffee shop is sick of me, seeing me in it because I
They're
wear
sick
it
of
so
the sickness.
Often. But they love it. It's the sick kind of sick. It's like the good version of sick. They're sick of the sick because it's so sick.
No, that's great. No, I think when we had our giveaway in New York, people really wanted the hat.
Yeah.
They were like, can I just buy it?
The hat's
and we
been
like,
a bestseller.
No.
A bestseller.
Yeah.
Some would say.
Almost sold out on our site.
I know. We only have, we need to restock because we're almost sold out of all the hats and all the totes, actually. So tanks
and totes.
Some hats and some totes
yeah.
left. So check them out on www.bushbabiesworld.com.
Yeah.
Baby.
Baby. All right. So gift guide?
I'm not going to go in order. I'm going to go off the one that I've hidden from you this whole time. Although I didn't get this for anyone. Actually, yeah, I don't know if this is, you know what? It's a good gift, so we're still going to talk about it. Basically, I found these
life-changing underwear, okay? I know underwear is an unconventional Christmas gift, but let me just tell you how life-changing they are, and that is why I am recommending them. One, they are useful. Everybody needs underwear,
yeah.
Obviously. You know, you could, underwear is an essential.
Yeah,
for most people, I would say.
Yeah. But, except for you.
Yeah, I know. There was a couple years where I actually like didn't wear underwear for I don't even know how long, like days, weeks, months on end. I would not touch underwear, but I've turned a corner. I'm on a new leaf, whatever that saying is, mm-hmm. and I am an underwear wearer now. But the underwear that I've found is specifically period underwear, and it's sustainable period underwear. It's from a brand called Thinks, and they work, you guys. Like, I've been testing them for the last 3 months. I literally haven't even mentioned this to Rachel because I've been on the vibe of like trying to test them to get your reaction on camera. And basically, they're the most incredible things because they're comfortable to wear. You don't have to have the uncomfort of using, you know, a tampon or a pad or whatever your chosen method is currently. But on top of that, they're sustainable. So you're not using wasteful products and you can wash them and reuse them. And I mean, I don't know how long they're going to last. I've been using them for 3 months and they're going strong.
Wait, really?
So, yes. Like, I'm telling you, they are life changing. Like,
I've heard such great things about
things. I will never go back to a tampon. I will never go back to a pad even.
Really?
They are comfortable as fuck. They work and they... I wore, this is absolutely disgusting, please. Nobody judge me for this, and I will slaughter the people who do, because I'm putting myself out here to say this. I disgustingly wore one pair for 4 days straight through my entire period, did not change them, and the odor was contained. Nobody could even tell.
You didn't leak at all?
No leakage.
Well, how light is your period?
I typically get the regular tampons, but sometimes need the super tampons. Like when I was using tampons, that was like where I was at. So I would say on a scale of intensity, mine usually lasts for 4 days and it's like medium to high intensity, about a 7 to 8 out of 10 on a scale. Like I get a lot of flow on the first 2 days, not as much on the second two. And like, that's typically how it goes. And there was no leakage and no odor. And I was kind of in shock because it's like,
Thanks, it's great. You can fucking bleed in your underwear. I love it. I haven't tried it just because I hate doing laundry. And so for me, it's like, oh, another thing of laundry that you have to wash like quickly.
That is true. Once you take it off, like, I don't know. I kind of like to wash it right away once I take it off. But what does that say about me and my body? That doesn't make a lot of sense that I'm treating my body like the trash can and treating the air like a pristine situation. But I digress.
I've heard great things about things, and I've always wanted
to
try them.
Have you heard of sustainable period underwear before that? I've never heard of it. This was my first, like...
Well, things has been around for, like... I've known about things for, like, five years. Yeah. They did a lot of marketing on online marketing for, like, a long time.
Wow.
But I think it's hard to convince people to come around to it because it... does require a lot of washing, like immediately, instead of just throwing in the trash, which is the one reason why. But it is sustainable, so I should try.
And it's way better for the planet.
Yeah.
Not only that, it feels better. Like, genuinely, as a user, yes, like, it feels better than tampons. It feels more comfortable than pads even. Like, it is very comfortable. And they have boxer briefs, which are so cute. And like, for your period, I feel like, I don't know, you might want a little extra coverage. At least I did. And so it was like, it's nice to like put on a pair of boxers and like feel comfortable and feel like you can move around and you're active and like the odor is not an issue. And like, you're literally doing good for the planet by like having your period and not using a traditional method of.
No, I totally.
Like,
totally agree.
You
know. No, I
should
try that.
So get it for your
that.
Girlfriends. Just saying.
No,
good
I
holiday
should try.
Gift.
I should try a Thinks thing.
Well, hey, I mean,
I'm
I can get it for you.
I'm just worried because I have such a heavy flow that I
think
worry
the boxers will work.
I worry that, like, even when they say, like, I pretty much just wear a fucking diaper my entire period. Like, I wear a knife pad.
What it feels like, but I
wear a
knife
pad every single day. Like, and on the first couple of days, I'll switch them out every couple of hours. Like, it is, yeah, not the vibe, but. You know, it's
that
my body.
Is, I'm not gonna lie, that is kind of what it feels like, but like in the best way possible, because it's cotton soft, like diaper that like actually catches it all. I'm telling you, I think you will like it, but I do think that this belongs on the gift guide because it's something that if you start using it, you'll see how amazing they are and then you'll want to give it to your friends. Because don't you just want to give your friends like the best things that like actually work for you? So, like, this is a perfect thing for a gift guide because sharing is caring.
No, I agree. I'm so glad that my therapist is right next to Union Square because I went the Friday before I came to LA and the market, the Christmas market was set up. And so I got to walk around. Thankfully, I got one Christmas market in before I left New York. And there was this amazing little booth brought to you by Gone to the Dogs. They're like an ethically handmade, women-owned, knitted dog clothing place.
Ooh, that's a good.
And they also make dog toys.
Everyone loves a dog gift if you're a dog owner.
So this is like because Lily, come here, come here. Okay, she's not down right now. But
she's like, nah.
I got her. They have these like little balaclavas for dogs.
Aww.
They have infinity scarves for dogs. They have sweaters. It's so fucking cute. Corey, look it up. Get one for Pongo right now. You're going to love it. Yeah, I mean, I can't guarantee that your dog's going to love it because it is like a scarf and balaclava for them, but they look fucking adorable. And we'll put a picture up now. I have a really great photo of Lily and them, and we can put it up.
Wait, I love that.
Because it's so cute. So yeah, I highly recommend supporting like a local Brooklyn-based brand if you have a dog or a cat. They do cat stuff. They also have a bunch of toys and non-squeaky toys, which I love as someone who works from home. Like a toy that they'll enjoy. They love throwing it around. They have a little New York pretzel too, which is so cute.
Oh my gosh, that is cute.
Lily, come here.
I love that.
See, she loves it. I should have brought it to put on
here. Yeah, we should have brought it.
But I have photos to put up, so we're good. Right, Lily? She's like,
she's
I will
like,
not
what
look
is
at
happening?
The camera.
I don't want to be here.
I had another one. That
the bottom one. I just saw the bottom one that you had.
I know. I thought that was funny.
Say it.
Okay. Another one that I thought would be a funny addition is the Lilo Ella double-sided dildo. I don't have it, but it looked pretty cool. And so it could be a vibe to get for someone. And it would be really funny to wrap it and put it in someone's carry-on next to water bottles. So then TSA has to go through their bag and take it out. And then there's a giant dildo next to it. I've always wanted to pull that prank on someone. I thought it'd be hilarious.
Yeah, I wish I was better at pranks, honestly. Pranks, I don't follow through well. Do you?
What?
Like, do you actually follow through with the pranks? Like, if you were to plan that and actually go through with that and try to go through TSA and try to make somebody do that, would you actually follow through fully and make TSA actually, like, open it up and shit? Like, I would freak out before that point and be like, no, I'm sorry, you can't do this. And, like, freak out and pull it off.
I would 1,000%
follow through. You would follow through.
That's also, like, a relatively easy prank. I think the ones that create a huge mess are just never worth it. You know how you see those like TikToks or YouTube videos where it's someone, you know, like a huge bucket of water falls
yeah,
on someone inside.
Yeah, that's what I always try to do and it didn't work.
But it's also just like, you're going to have to clean up that mess. Like, I don't want to have to clean that up.
Here was my solution. I tried to do that, but with stuffed animals. I filled it with stuffed animals to my brother and it fell over and hit him. But that's what I'm saying. It's not the full follow through. It's like, if you're going from water to stuffed animals, that's obviously not the same effect.
But like, you're also being smart because if you did the water thing, you'd have to clean it. And it's just, no one wants to have
no
to clean
No one wants
it.
To do that. No yeah. one wants to do that.
Like the messy ones, I'm not down with. The ones that embarrass people, I'm down with because that's like easy. You know, they just throw the water bottles away. That doesn't require you to like clean anything. It's just like kind of funny for 2 seconds, you know?
Yeah, true.
Yeah.
But back to the dildos.
back to the dildo. I saw great reviews online. I pretty much just looked up number one dildo on Google, and that came up. And it seems really cute, sleek, nice, you know?
Love that.
So, yeah, we love that for a Christmas moment, you know, for all my single ladies out there.
Snaps.
Hell yeah.
Okay, so I have a couple makeup items, a homage to my roots,
of course,
if you will.
Love it.
But first off, I tried this setting spray that I feel like, so in the winter, I don't know about you guys, but winter time, my makeup like really slides off my face. And I feel like because of like cold and wind and just like, I don't even know what, but my makeup doesn't want to stay on my skin. So I've been searching for a good setting spray and I found the one, like the one that is holds it more than anything I've ever found. And it's from a POC brand from one of my good friends, Patrick Starr, one size, and it's the On Till Dawn mattifying waterproof setting spray. And it holds, like, I swear I wore my makeup for 20 hours one day and my makeup, I looked in the mirror at the end of the night and it was like armor on my face, like legit didn't move at all. So highly recommend if you have a makeup lover in your life, setting spray is something that anyone can use, anyone can get use out of. Next up in the gift guide is this amazing light from Aputure. You guys have heard us talk about Aputure before. They provide the lighting for our New York studio. And honestly, this light is the best light for Instagram content and TikTok content.
Just replace your ring light with this.
Okay.
If you're going to get one to throw your ring light away, it looks so shitty compared to this. We can do a side-by-side on TikTok. Everyone's saying there's the flat panel light to get, but this one, like, listen to Roxette. She's been in this game for 10 years.
Almost
she knows.
A decade. Almost
she has
a decade.
The other flat one that everyone's talking about on TikTok.
And
if you
want
to be ahead of the curve,
This is it. So this is the Aputure MC. And what I love about it is that it's adjustable so you can change the warmth and coolness on a complete scale, like a professional piece of equipment. And it has this soft light attachment, which just blurs out your skin and doesn't give you the harsh light, but you have that option. So you could do harsh light, soft light, change the color, change the warmth. It with the soft light filter on it or whatever, I guess it's not a filter, but with the soft light attachment, it blurs out your skin and gives you that like softer beauty lighting. So if you want that look, it's perfect, but you can also have the hard light as well. And I love that it's very compact. So you can like throw it in your pocket. I mean, a lot of times this will fit in my-
It's smaller than a camera
size. It's literally smaller than a camera and fits in the palm of your hand. You can add an attachment that like hooks onto the top of your iPhone or whatever so that it like really stays perfectly lit. But this is the lighting you need. So if you have any friends that want to be content creators or, you know, are into this space,
or just get a good photo at night on Instagram.
True. Like,
or good lighting
everyone loves
in their
a good
room.
Photo these days. Like,
you need
if
the
you
lighting.
Want good photos, you definitely need lighting. It makes a difference in how you're face skin photos turn out. So yeah,
there's a flat panel one that's going viral on Instagram right now and everyone's saying throw your ring lights away and get that, but
this one's better.
That's like actually
this
the one
is
you
the
should
plug
get.
I'm telling you, take it from me, 10 years in the space, take it from me, this is the plug.
And just as the friend that's on the sidelines seeing all these photos being taken, I've seen such a huge difference between that one and the flat panel one. And I think the main differentiator is it comes with this soft gel overtone, so it's softer, it's not bright in your face like crazy vibe.
Absolutely. So we love Aputure. This one's on sale right now, 12% off, which is my lucky number. So it's $79 right now, but $90 normal price, but it will last. I've already had it for over a year and I have no problems with it. It's chargeable. It lasts a really long time. So great investment.
Next on the list of our Christmas guide, I would love to call out Resist Nutrition. They're great. Resist Nutrition is also such a good brand because it was started by two girls who don't give a shit about diet culture and they just wanted nutrition bars focused on actually providing nutritious materials for women. One of the girls, I think, has PCOS, so she's very insulin resistant. And it's all about, you know, providing you the sustenance you need in a really yummy health bar that isn't focused on you losing weight. Because all the other bars that I realized that are out there were created by men to promote diet culture. And this is kind of breaking that cycle. And I love that. We love that. Bars actually taste amazing. So
this is a great way to give the gift of health, because these are actually healthy, nutritious bars made of whole food ingredients that taste great. So it's like, everyone's going to love that. Everyone's going to get use out of it.
Also, we love just supporting small businesses. Yeah. It's two girls that went to NYU. They're both younger than I think both of us.
Yeah.
Who just decided to commit to really learning about the space, developing a really healthy product that works and tastes great. So,
And we'll link everything down below. So all the things we're talking about will be linked in the description boxes of all platforms. In the bio.
Link in bio. Link in bio.
We have to do, of course, Surreal Skincare goes on our gift guide. That is one of our favorite brands collectively, I would say. Personally, my favorite products, we can each go through our favorite products, because I feel like Surreal, we have specific favorites, and like, I feel like skincare is just such a great gift for people, because again, it's like everyone loves putting stuff on their face that like makes you feel good, you know? So the vitamin C serum, absolutely. It's called Scurvy Dog. That is like, I feel like a general favorite and works for many different skin types. So if you don't really know like what type of skin, like the person that you're buying this gift for has, that's a really good one to start with. Like, let's say, you know, they love skincare, you know, they love makeup or whatever, but you don't know exactly their skin type, Scurvy Dog. Yeah. Second off, acne assassin. I've talked about this too many times, but it legit cleared my acne. Like, I don't deal with acne the same way that I used to. Absolutely. Yeah,
it really worked
and
for you.
It was a game changer because it was oil-based. I have dry skin. Mm-hmm. It's oil-based, but it's an acne treatment. So it kind of hit both levels for me, if you will, and would highly recommend if you have a friend dealing with acne that has dry skin specifically.
Yeah,
because it worked for me.
I would also just say in general, like, I just gave a bottle of the watermelon one to my mom.
That's a good one.
They are so thoughtfully packaged. Yeah. And I wouldn't say this about literally any other brand, because it has a piece of artwork. You guys probably saw in season one on the episode where we brought the founder, Morgan, on. They are wrapped with a canvas with a piece of art on them. So, yes, the skincare works, which is a bonus, too. But if you're trying to give a great gift,
it's
so nice to give it, because it's different than any other random skincare product. You know, they're going to also have a beautiful little piece of artwork that they get to unwrap for themselves.
Honestly, that is such a good point. It's specialized, it's customized, there's a lot of thought, and your gift receiver walks away with a special piece of art and a great product that's
and
made
from a great
person.
And you don't even really
have
to wrap it. Like, it's already
wrapped. Morgan did that, okay? Yeah. Morgan did that.
No, it's great.
Okay.
Yeah, I got this from my mom for her birthday in October. And she really loves it. And I got it for her because I had a bunch of other friends getting it too. And it's a ring that tracks your sleeping and your activity and all these other vital things about your body. And it loads it onto an app so you can manage your health and whatever goes along with that. But I think the good thing about it versus any other one of those tracker devices is that since it's a ring, it's so much smaller and you don't have to charge it as often. Because I've had an Apple Watch, or I still do, I guess, technically have an Apple Watch, but I stopped using it because you have to charge it every single night and it's just another thing you have to remember to plug in and it gets really annoying. But the ring is super easy because I don't think you have to charge it that often, and that you still open up the app and it has everything on there, and it's a really sleek little ring that's on you. It's not like a full fashion statement or anything. It's literally just a plain silver ring that you put on you, and it tracks all that. And everyone loves it for tracking sleep, which, as someone like me who's had trouble with sleeping in adulthood, I think it's a great tool to have for anyone.
Again, the gift of health.
The gift of health.
We love the gift of health.
We love the gift of health. Riv McCall is an amazing knitwear-focused fashion designer. They/she had their first fashion show at New York Fashion Week this past year, which was so exciting. Basically, Riv
and
is
Rachel
be...
was in it modeling. We should say, okay, the talented Miss Rachel over here was one of the models.
But yeah, Riv is one of the designers that is going to blow up and is going to be one of those like haute couture high end fashion.
She has a vision.
Vet mall vibe.
Yeah,
like if you know, you know New York fashion designers, and she has an entire website where you can buy stuff right now. She makes beautiful purses out of climbing rope. She makes dresses out of rope and knitwear.
Balaclavas.
We are going to wear her balaclavas on one of our episodes in season two. Overall, also for the launch party that we had in September, she made the top for me. So she is so talented. She has a bunch of stuff on her website. Check it out before it becomes unattainable to own her shit, because it will be in the next couple of years.
Yeah.
You heard it from here first.
You heard it here first. Okay, Bush Baby certified and approved, honey. Because honestly, everything she said, I back that up. She is the next big thing, and you can legit mark our words on that. And also, talking about another one of the amazing artists in New York City, Mars World Bitch is his username. We know him as Mars.
Yeah.
And he makes some iconic art that he's turned into a full-fledged apparel line, accessories line. Like, he's doing the damn thing, okay? And he just has, again, such a vision, such an artistic mindset and mind frame.
Cool.
And, like, just makes the coolest shit. So if you're looking for some really cool apparel that's made in New York City by a local artist, like, check out his stuff.
Tanks, tees, sweatshirts, everything you want has beautiful, beautiful prints, custom prints on them. And we'll be showing them in season two as well, probably.
Yeah we just picked some up for ourselves. So we're going to be definitely rocking them in season two. So you guys will see them. But highly recommend if you guys want to check it out.
Because that's the thing is, you know, everyone wants a cute sweatshirt or a cute baby tee or a tank. But you want something different.
Yeah,
and if you want something different that not every other person that you see is going to have, you need to start shopping small from these brands like Mars and Riv that are making such great twists on basics that you could find at Zara or Brandy or wherever the fuck else people normally shop. But you're not going to be basic wearing these because they're actually unique and cool.
And your money is going towards somebody's dream. Somebody's, like, the trajectory of their life, not just a big corporation. So,
exactly.
Yes,
love that.
Hunty!
Love
that. Hunty! Snap, 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 snap. We love that.
Love it, love it. Was there anything else on our list?
We have Rachel's knits.
Oh my god!
Another local artist.
Stop plugging my knits. Rachel's
knits.
I can't make more knits for people.
If she gets to cranking, we'll have a side up, and Rachel's knits will be on your next gift guide for sure.
Next gift guide. Next gift guide. I don't know about this one. Next one, maybe. There was some other ones that I feel like. I think we're betting Parachute. I love Parachute. They made my my comforter is so soft. If you want to give your family or friends the gift of luxury sleeping, get them something from Parachute. Because
damn, you just sold me on that.
No, they really do have the softest shit. Like,
yo, your bedding is really nice.
And Molly, I think Molly's about bought it yesterday. That was her one errand.
Black Friday.
Was to go buy some stuff from Parachute because they really do have the best ass comforters and like sheets and stuff. So highly recommend.
And the gift receiver will think of you every time they go to sleep and get the best night's sleep of
their life. So, ladies, if you want your man to think about you.
That is a good one. A good one for, like, the men in your life.
Yeah.
Regardless of.
Yeah. Well, that's the thing. And this is, I think, on TikTok now, because it is the Christmas season, I'm getting all these TikToks about, like, what to buy the man in your life gift guide. And for me, my, they're always saying, you know, buy them something, the, like, figure out what they really like and buy them the nicest version of it that they would never buy themselves, which you've done. It's like, you know, Joe likes golf, so you're going to buy the nicest golf club for him. I say scrap that. Get them something you want them to have or wear. So pretty much every time I was dating a guy, I don't know if they can probably attest to this of whether they enjoyed it or not, but I assume they liked it. I would just find something that I knew I would think looked really hot on them. And I'd take it. I would take any gift-giving opportunity as a way to give them a little bit of a makeover, you know?
Yeah.
So, like, on Christmas, I'd get them, like, a really nice sweater that I really liked that they would never buy for themselves because it wasn't their style. Yeah. But I was like, you would look amazing in this Burberry sweater. Get it. And then they loved it because it was a super nice-ass sweater, you know?
Love that.
And so that is how, if you're dating a man, you slowly get them to transform into the man you want them to be.
And what if you're dating a woman? She's already the woman you want them to be.
I mean, yeah, women are amazing. Like, there's nothing to change about women. But it's the same thing. It's like, maybe there's a certain style that would look, you think would look amazing on them, but is too much, too different from what they're currently wearing for them to, you know, go out of their way to try.
Yeah.
So you make that leap for them and just buy them the thing. Like, maybe overalls aren't their thing. Just get them a pair of overalls if you think they'd look hot in that, you know?
Yeah.
And then they have to try it on at least once because you got it for them. So then at least you get one photo.
I love it.
Yeah, don't take dating advice from me as a single lady who has had multiple failed relationships, you know? Take a dating advice from Roxette if you're going to take it from anyone.
No.
Don't say no. I mean, she knows she's right. That was our gift guide. I hope you enjoyed it. We'll probably add a couple more things as we think of it because, you know, gifting is a iterative process, you know? It's and not it something you get in one sweep.
For sure. It's different. There's layers, like an onion. There's layers to the gifting process. And
exactly.
Feel free to, like, take any of these gifts and kind of run with the inspo, but customize it to the specific people in your life that you're buying for, because I feel like this can give a good general overview, but, like, obviously it's really thoughtful to, like, you know, customize it for the specific people that, like, you're buying for. So, yeah.
Yeah.
But we hope you enjoyed.
Well, yeah, this is just a tidbit of our lives, a quick update. We didn't want to leave everyone hanging.
Roxette in period underwear for 4 days is my update. Cheers to that.
Rachel, what did I say I did? Oh.
Start and cranking.
Afraid of flying and crank.
So that is my update from us.
And yeah, you'll probably hear from us soon, like in the next month.
Yeah.
We're going to start filming season 2 in the next week or so. So
exciting stuff. Season 2 good stuff coming.
But yeah, we just miss you guys and we miss filming and we missed making stuff. Every time we're on the phone, we talk about we need to start filming again. Mm-hmm. So it's great that we got this chance to kind of just let our voices run wild.
Run wild, baby, and enjoy the holiday season. That's the motto for this episode.
Yeah.
Run wild.
Wild,
and enjoy
baby.
It. Yeah, we love you guys.
All right.
And
happy
for
holidays,
listening.
Y'all. New Year's Eve. Yes. If someone wants to be my New Year's kiss, hit me up.
Happy holidays to all y'all out there. Whatever holidays you celebrate, any and
Kwanzaa,
all. We love
Hanukkah,
you guys.
And Christmas time.
Yes.
Sorry.
We love all the holidays. And yeah, we hope that you just enjoy this time with family and close loved ones and people in your life that show you love and care, because that's what this time is all about. And we'll see you in season 2.
Peace.
Woo! Yeah!
Thank you so much for watching. You can find us on TikTok, Instagram, and YouTube at Bush Babies World, as well as our personal accounts at Roxetteresa and at Rachel Traw. And make sure to join our Discord to be an official part of the BB community. Make sure to stay up to date with everything we have going on at www.bushbabiesworld.com.